Good morning once again, everyone. Any of the children want to go down the hall with Miss Pam and do the children's activities? You're welcome to do so, but you don't have to go if you don't want to go. Any of the adults that want to go do children activities, and I guess you could if you wanted to, but rest of us, let's turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning. As we get started with the second of our series of messages for Christmas this year. Get my paperwork in order. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Luke chapter 2 is one of the gospel accounts of the birth of Jesus. I want to look at a small part of that this morning as we talk about the spirit of Christmas is peace. This morning, I want to keep that word in your mind, the peace of Christ or the peace of Christmas. While you're turning to chapter 2 of Luke, I'll remind you, some of you may know and maybe some of you won't. I think most people have seen Charlie Brown's Christmas movie over and over again. And if you have children, you've seen it over and over again on top of that. They were playing that movie when I was a child and they're still playing it now. One of the most beautiful things about that Charlie Brown Christmas movie is when Linus tells the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And that's part of the reason why we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 today. But you know, Lucy is another character in the Charlie Brown family. And in one of the cartoons that it was drawn, Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "I hate everything, I hate everybody, and I hate the whole wide world." Charlie Brown says, "But I thought you had inner peace." And Lucy replies, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." Now, I don't know about you, but I've kind of been there myself from time to time. I hope I don't stay there. I hope I don't live there. But let's leave it up to Lucy to speak some truth in a blunt way. I remember listening to Linus telling the Christmas story, basically quoting Luke chapter 2, specifically verses 8 to 14, which I want to read right now to you. I think I got that up there. Yes. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, this is where Jesus had been born. The first part of chapter 2 describes how that came about in a brief fashion in the Gospel of Luke. And then it says in verse 8, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. Christ the Lord, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying," and what I have on the board is the New American Standard Version for a reason. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Now, this was quite a significant situation and happening in the event of Jesus' birth. And I think it's something that sometimes we might not spend enough time looking at or pondering over. I think it can be overlooked really easily because of the birth of Jesus is really the story, isn't it? That Jesus came into the world for the sake of being the Savior to the world and for the sake of giving his life on the cross so that we might be saved. Okay, so here we are, and we're reading this what these heavenly angels stated, and in the New American Standard it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." We're going to try to break this statement down today to help us have a good understanding about Christmas, or hopefully be reminded about Christmas and what it is all about. I want to share with you some of the other versions, how they interpreted this statement. The King James says, "Glory to God in the highest." and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That might be one you've heard most. The NIV is what I just read. It says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. New Living Translation says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And the ESV says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. It's a little different every time in every translation. There's different words that are chosen to express what was being written in this Gospel of Luke. And we have to ask ourselves why, for one thing, and we have to break it down to see what actually is being said and who is saying it and who are they saying it to. So the first thing we look at, glory to God in the highest. Okay? Let's not miss this point. Glory to God in the highest. That is the way it was said, with small differences in each of these translations, the only difference being the highest heaven in some translations. So it's glory to God in the highest. First, this is the declaration made by a multitude of heavenly hosts, according to what we just read in the Gospel of Luke. A multitude of heavenly hosts says, glory to God in the highest. This is a statement of fact. They're not asking for anyone to give glory to God in the highest. They're saying that God gets the glory, period. And this is after the birth of Jesus. Jesus has come into the world, and they come in and make a statement of fact from the kingdom of God that God will be glorified by this event. Isn't that great? Question. Is that what Christmas is about in your hearts, in our minds, in our world, in our society? Is Christmas about bringing glory to God or acknowledging the glory that God already has? Isn't that what it should be? We're acknowledging not only the birth of our Savior, in being born into the flesh, becoming man for the sake of becoming our Savior, and fulfilling the promise of God, but really it's the big picture is God is faithful to fulfill His promises, that He will solve the problem of sin for the purpose of bringing Himself glory. See, sin cannot defeat God. Wickedness cannot overcome His holiness. So therefore, glory to God. No one can come up with a better plan. No one can come up with a better salvation road. Now this is key to the whole statement. This whole thing, glory to God in the highest, the whole statement focuses on giving God the glory. The birth of Jesus is all about bringing God glory. It's about bringing salvation to the lost, yes, but that's not, even that is for the glory of God, isn't it? You ever think about it that way? Your salvation and mine, all of us being saved, being forgiven of our sins, is for the glory of God. Because look, no one can stand in the way of God and disrupt God's plan. No one is greater than God. No ones all put together are greater than God in His ways. His love trumps all. When Adam and Eve sinned, they brought wickedness into the world. When they chose to disobey God and become an enemy of God, they had to be dismissed from His presence. With the promise that God would make it right, God would fix it all. And here it is, Mary and Joseph giving birth to this baby who was promised way back in Genesis. This little boy in the flesh who would become the Savior of the world. Glory to God in the highest. What an amazing statement it is. Here's the rest of the statement. On earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. Now, I study out of the New American Standard Bible, and I've been preaching most of my ministry of the New International Version. They're both good translations to use. But I study out of the New American Standard Bible, and I chose this particular translation so that we could see these words that say, among men with whom he is pleased. Right? Too many times, even when we're watching Charlie Brown and listening to Linus read the scripture word for word, and it says, he would probably read, the glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And if we just gloss over that and go right on by it and accept it for what it sounds like, it almost would sound like the scripture is saying peace on earth, right? Because Jesus is born. Well, it's not saying that. We know it's not saying that because there's still wars in the world. There's still chaos in the world. There's still wickedness going on in the world, right? There's still, I got to fix this microphone because it's going up under my, there we go. Sorry. But there's still problems in the world. There is not peace around the world, is there? There's not. No matter what nation we live in, no matter what generation we live in, there is not peace in the world. So what does it mean? Jesus comes into the world to bring peace into the world. He brings peace into the world for what purpose? What is this peace and where is it going and what is it for? Well, it says peace among men, right? It says peace among men. I don't know what to do. I'm working on it. What is peace? Peace among men. Peace on earth. Peace is being able to be calm or to be satisfied or to be rested or at peace in the middle of chaos. When things are chaotic, when things are wrong, there's stability. There's not panic. When he says among men, he's meaning those whom God is pleased with. This is why we need to focus on what does that mean, whom he's pleased with. Who are those that God is pleased with? Raise your hand if you want God to be pleased with you. I want God to be pleased with me and you. Well, I want to look at Hebrews chapter 11 really quickly. Verse 6. Chapter 11 is talking about faith. Talking about all the ones throughout history that believed God. And how, because of their faith, righteousness was accredited to them by God. And in this verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith, without trusting him. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So let's think about this. If the Creator is going to promise to fix the sin problem and then brings his plan into place, and this baby is born who is God in the flesh, with the purpose of becoming the Savior, dying on the cross, taking the penalty of sin. What would motivate God to do that for anybody and everybody, even if they reject him? Right? Think about it. When John 3:16, everybody knows it, everybody quotes it. John 3:16 says, whoever will believe can be saved. Right? Whosoever will believe can have eternal life. It's not a blanket. God loves everybody, but salvation is not for everybody. It's for whoever believes. That's who salvation's for. That's what Jesus came here for. That's what the baby was born for. For those who would believe God. It really is for everybody, but not everyone will receive that. Not everyone will believe. Therefore, they miss out on the greatest gift that's ever existed. The reality is if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you're not accepting God and his plan of salvation, or you're not accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you're rejecting the gospel, you've made yourself an enemy of God because you've sinned against the Holy God. You've committed crimes against the Holy God. And you cannot be You cannot be a person who God is pleased with if you're in sin. You cannot say to yourself, God loves me, and therefore I'm going to be with him for eternity, but I don't accept anything else about him. I'm not going to accept his way. You can't say he's my Lord and not submit to his way. His desire is that all would come to him and believe, that all would accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that all would offer glory to him in the highest because of this Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's his desire. And he's pleased with those who submit to this truth. Now, you and I know that we all are works in progress. You and I know that we all have things that we're still trying to get right. We're still trying to learn. We're still trying to grow in Christ. We're trying to become better and better every day, leaving behind that which offends God, called repentance. But those of us who are believers can have security in our salvation and eternal life with God because we've accepted it by faith, this gospel, and surrendered ourselves to it. So we can say about ourselves that this God, our God, is pleased with us. He's pleased that we've heard about Jesus and we've accepted him, not only accepted him, but surrendered to him. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to be the Christian who is saved by God's grace without faith. Glory to God in the highest. And it says, peace among men with whom he is pleased. So where does this peace go? Where does it come from? What is it? Well, sin is the chaos. Sin is the disruption in the peace. That's been from the beginning. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, there's been chaos and decay and disruption and wickedness in the world, and it affects every one of us. None of us escape it. And just because we're saved doesn't mean we're immune to the consequences of what goes on in this world. Sometimes wickedness happens to you because of someone else's behavior. Sometimes wickedness happens because of you, because of your own sinful decision. The only way to escape the chaos and the lack of peace that comes from sin and wickedness is through Jesus on the cross. And faith in that. And that only comes through this baby being born into the flesh, just like God promised. It's not peace over the earth. Jesus didn't come in the flesh so that there would be peace in the world. In fact, Jesus taught when he was in the world teaching, he would say, look, there's going to be a lot of bad things happen. Things are going to get worse before they're over with. In fact, because you're a believer, you're going to be treated wrongly. You're going to be mistreated. You're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. Think about the disciples. Some of the apostles were in prison or being beaten, being persecuted in quite ugly ways. Some of them were singing hymns. Some of them were writing letters to encourage other believers in their hardships. They weren't sitting back complaining and woe is me. They had peace in their heart that Jesus is Lord and that this world is not our home. And what happens in this world is only temporary. And it is a consequence of sin that has infected the world. So there can be peace among us, right? How can there be peace among us? If there's peace in us, the believers have peace in us within with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lord living in us. It doesn't matter what anybody does to us. They can't take that away. Let me read to you about this missionary or this martyr. Went by the name of Dr. Nicholas Ridley. And in 1555, Dr. Nicholas Ridley was sentenced to be burned at the stake in England because of his witness for Christ. On the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and comfort. Nicholas Ridley declined the offer, saying, I intend, God willing, to go to bed and sleep as quietly tonight as I ever did. Because he knew the peace of God, he could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. Most of us will never face a trial of our faith in this manner. Yet all of us go through difficult times, and during those times we have opportunities to express our faith. We have our opportunities to rest in the peace that we have in Christ. We have opportunities to bring glory to God by celebrating not only Christmas, but celebrating the life of the Christian because of this baby who was born to Joseph and Mary. This baby whose birthday we celebrate every year. We decorate. And don't look good up here, y'all. The people that came up here in the church, the ladies that were able to organize this, they did a great job, and we praise the Lord for it. And we should celebrate. And we should make a big deal. We should bring glory to God in these ways. Why? Because there's peace among us because of this baby. There's peace among us because of God's faithfulness to his promises. There's peace within us. And there's supposed to be peace between us, believers. And that's the hardest part. Right? As believers, there should be peace between us. Somebody said in our Bible study this morning, we brought up the teaching where Romans tells us to, as far as it is up to you, live at peace with everybody. Right? If we all the believers in the world, if we all practice that perfectly, there would never be a disagreement within the believers. I mean a fight. I don't mean a differences of opinion. I'm talking about a problem that would dishonor God. We would always honor God. But the only way for us to really live at peace with one another is to have that peace within us. To accept the peace that Jesus brings into our lives. The only way to do that is to be among those who are pleasing to God. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ and you haven't accepted the gospel as truth and you haven't surrendered to Jesus as Lord and Savior and repented and been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter how bad you want peace, you won't have it. Not the peace that God offers. You won't have it. You have to have Jesus to have the peace. You see, when we're in sin, we're enemies of the kingdom of God. We're not at peace with God when we're in sin, when we're sinners. And instead of just totally annihilating and destroying his enemy, which he has every capability of doing, he offers terms of peace, God does. He comes to the table and says, look, I can either destroy you or I can offer you terms of peace so that you can live with me for eternity. And we don't have to be enemies. Why would God offer this why would he offer such a valuable gift to his enemies? Because he loved us before we became enemies. He loved us even after we became enemies. He loves us still. Therefore, here comes Jesus into this world. Have you ever imagined, maybe you've heard plenty of preachers preach about it, but maybe you've heard how Jesus leaving the presence of God and just coming into the world, into the flesh, lowering himself in that way. For what? Just so that we could be forgiven? That's part of it. Is it so that only so that God would be glorified? That's a lot of it. But it's really so that you and I can experience peace. And we can escape the torment and the chaos that comes from the wickedness that sin brings. Imagine those who leave this world denying Christ. For eternity, they're in torment. For eternity, they're living in the darkest of dark places. For eternity, they're forever separated from holiness. Never again to hear from God or to be heard by God. No matter what they believe, say, or think at the time. There is no peace without God. There is no peace without Christ. There is no peace without faith. Right? How can we, knowing that we have this gift, this peace, knowing that we have the peace of Christ living in us by God's grace because of our faith, how on earth can we not only look at each other and have issues that can't be resolved, but how is it that we couldn't go into the world and share this peace with the world? You see, believers, we, the church, we are to go out and make disciples. We're to go out into the world and love people and love God. That's what we try to do here at this church, because that's what we believe Scripture tells us to do. And a lot of times we're just like, I don't know how to do that. I would love to do it. How do I do it? Well, first, we have to rest in the peace that's within us. And then we have to go out into the world, however the Lord has set it up for us to do, circumstances, whatever your job is, whatever your hobbies are, whatever you get involved in, wherever your life goes, you, the believer, should bring peace into the every situation. Because Christ is with you. Or maybe a better way to say it is, we are with Christ. Right? Now, does that mean we won't have emotions, frustrations, anger, sorrow, hurt, loss? Let's go down the list of things that seem to disrupt what we believe peace is. If you're a parent, if you've ever raised a child, your desire is every now and then just a little bit of peace and quiet. Right? I had one son, and I still, there were times I was like, yeah. Everybody just be quiet. Just peace and quiet for just a minute. We're not really talking about that level of peace. However, it is the same thing on a grander scale. You ever just felt like, can we just stop the world for a minute? Can we just everybody just take a breath? Everybody just stop. Everybody stop hating each other. Everybody stop calling each other names. Everybody stop doing things that don't honor. Everybody just stop. Let's just stop for a minute. Well, to me, it seems like we did that a couple years ago when the virus happened, and it just made it worse. We tried to stop the world. It was against our will, seemingly, but it didn't help. It actually made things worse. You can't escape the chaos and the darkness of sin without the peace of Christ. You have to have it. Here's the key, y'all. We have that peace in our hearts so that when these terrible things happen, or when this chaos happens, or when the confusion happens, when the sickness happens, when everything that can happen to disrupt your peace, you're still at peace with Christ. You're still at peace with yourself. You're still at peace with each other. There's all kinds of reasons we can look at each other and be mad about things. And if hopefully I'm not by myself in this, maybe I'll just confess, but sometimes I get upset about things and I take it out on the wrong people because I'm unsettled. Right? I think sometimes that happens. But if we're resting in the peace of Christ, as Galatians tells us, peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You ever notice somebody having a bad, really bad, bad situation going on, and it's almost like they're acting like it never happens? They're not happy. They're not overjoyed about the bad situation, but they're just kind of taking it in stride. They don't seem to be rocked by it. They're just kind of moving along. You can tell that they're struggling, or that they're hurting, or that they're in pain, but they're just steady going because of the peace of Christ, y'all. Because they know that when it's all over, the peace of Christ will stand for eternity. Here's the good news, the better news than what I've already said. When we get to be in the presence of God, and when Jesus comes back and all of this world is over and made new, no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears. No more heartaches, no more unsettling situations, no more anxiety, no more anything you can list that would disrupt God's peace in your life will no longer exist. And I don't know of a more valuable gift that God could offer than that. I don't know about y'all, but I need it. Every day. Every day we need something to cling to. Right? Even in the great days. Even when Alabama's winning and barbecue's on the table. I still need the peace of Christ. Because the world is hard, isn't it? Jesus came to give you peace. Jesus came to bring peace into your life, into your heart, into your mind. Jesus was born in the flesh to bring peace on earth. Glory be to God. Isn't that something to celebrate? Isn't that something to give God the glory over? I don't know about you, but sometimes, for a lot of different reasons over most of my life, you know, I enjoy holiday times, Thanksgiving and Christmas, just about every year. But there's always something that you have to wrestle with. There's always something. There's always something that maybe Satan might want you to try to focus on so he can rob your peace. He can try to steal from you what God has given you. Maybe he can take from you what is yours by not by what you've earned, but by what Jesus did on the cross. And we have choices to make, don't we? We can choose to look at the bad things. We can choose to look at the chaos. We can choose to sit in the spiritually the rickety chair spiritually and hope it doesn't fall out from under us, or we can stand firm on the rock that we know is our Savior in the middle of every storm. It doesn't matter if the storm lasts your entire life. It doesn't matter if every Christmas seems bad to you, because there's some significant reasons to have some terrible feelings at holiday time. But none of those things should be allowed to be greater than Jesus being born into the flesh so that God would be able to bring peace into your life. Isn't that amazing? I have to be reminded that God is always bigger than my problems. God is always bigger than anything in here that's causing chaos, that's causing unsettlement, that's causing problems, or even causing doubt sometimes about God or the truth. Right? It's easy to be distracted when the world It's like a bad tornado. It's like a bad storm that will not stop. It can be. But let me say this. You and I are not the only ones that have the peace of the Lord. We can go out into this world and we can meet other believers that have the same peace. And we can have joy. We can have peace. We can have happiness. We can celebrate and we can bring glory to God by the way that we celebrate, even in the middle of hardship, sickness, pain, or suffering. It's hard. However, you may not be one of those people that suffer. You might be, I have a sister, she's like joy, she's joyous all the time. Doesn't make any difference. She just running around, she's like, hey, Merry Christmas, how are you? I'm like, whatever. Sometimes she just like, I love her, and I wish I could be like her. Because it just bounces right off of her. Now, I know, because I'm her brother, that it doesn't really just bounce off of her. She just has this ability to put it somewhere where it doesn't interfere with her peace. With God's help, we can all do the same thing. I love you and the Lord loves you. If you don't know this peace, if you don't know what I'm talking about, or if you just want what the believers have, it's real simple. Decide what you believe about Jesus. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? He came here to be the Savior of the world. He is God in the flesh. He went to the cross. He died for the sins of man. If you believe that, you should repent of being an enemy of God. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can be forgiven and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And just watch the peace grow in your heart. We're going to sing right now if y'all are ready. We're going to sing like somebody died for us. We're going to sing like we have a Savior who's brought us peace. Let's stand together and sing.